So, you know, this is my favorite story, and so I have lots of things here. So I'm only going to do, well, who wants to look at some of my notes and pick something to talk about? Raise your hand. No, I mean, I'm just handing these out, and we're going to, here. Well, you thought that was funny, you're going to do it. One over here. Back here, see what you think. You like to read. No, I mean, they're just my handwritten notes. They might not mean anything to you, but they do to me. Yeah, if you can read them. Well, if you can't read it, yeah, if you can't read it, then the sermon's short. So. So this is all about the Good Samaritan. It's all about being kind. So if you see something, because it's this story, everybody knows this story. We have laws about this story, you know. Everybody knows this story, but let's go. Who has a note? Give me something.
Tell me about Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit, right. So one of the things, I was reading a story, when you're kind to somebody, it's about your heart. That's the deepest place. You know, that's where the soul resides. I mean, however you want to talk about it. People are more poetic than I talk about it. But the heart is a place. And that's where all the action happens. When you see that quick roll of an opportunity of kindness to come, it's your heart that's reacting. And so the story of Seabiscuit is, why was Seabiscuit such a powerful horse? Do you know the answer to that? Well, yeah, he won, yes. But why did he win? Why did he win? Because what? Great breeding. Yeah, his heart. Now, Seabiscuit was a male horse, right? Okay, I don't know not a lot about horses. They scare me. But Vicky's going to help me learn about it. But a normal horse heart weighs how much? Do you know? Yeah, 8, 9 pounds is what this is. Seabiscuit's, he won tons, of, maybe the best horse of all time, 22 pounds. A 22-pound heart. He had the heart to do it. And so this commentator kind of used that analogy to say, when you're being kind to someone, that's creating a legendary experience. Because the person who is receiving that kindness, like the Good Samaritan, I mean, the person the Good Samaritan helped, that person's life is changed, obviously, tremendously, from almost being dead to being cared for and loved by someone that, when they heard the story about who this Samaritan was, it would be the worst person you could think of who would help somebody, but they were helped nonetheless because their heart expanded to help them and heal them and bring them back to life. And that's part of that eternal life. Okay, something else.
Pastors can be easy neighbors.
Yes, expand your neighborhood. Okay. So, again, as Beth said, thank you very much for all of you who helped us move. That was a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what I mean by that is that it's easy to be a good neighbor to a pastor. Because, you know, if you're a church member, you know, you should probably, I mean, you know, you look at me, I need lots of help. I understand. I'm not talking about Pastor Beth. some of us pastors need a lot of help and patience and forgiveness. But it's easy to help the pastor. Well, we got to help the pastor, you know, because that's, you know, they're coming to the church and that'd be a good thing and we could show how churchy we are. But that's the easy one. The harder one is, or even some new people. If you're new, welcome today. And we're probably going to try and love you as best we can. And if we don't, forgive us and come back because we'll try again and we'll keep working on it. We're working on that. So that's easy as well, even new people who come into the church. But once we drive away, if you've ever gone down this College Street very much, like I have for the past year, you see a lot of motorized wheelchairs. And some of these motorized wheelchairs have folks who are missing a limb or two or four. And I just think, what if that chair tipped over? They're by themselves. Could I stop to help them? Well, you'd say, well, of course I could, you know, because I'm a good Samaritan. But maybe I can't because of what? Because I have to go pick up my kid from school. I have a doctor's appointment that I would have to reschedule. And it might be another month out, and this is an important appointment. I have a counseling appointment. because I have some mental health stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of becauses that, like the two that drove by, I might drive by. So that's what I mean by it's easy. But when you get out, and the further you get out, and the different places we go, and the roll along comes right here, can we do it? Can we be kind? Can we open our hearts? There's a phrase, someone has it, can you change your life? Say it again.
Can you change your life to change a life?
That's what being kind is about. That's what eternal life is about. That's how your heart expands. That's what grace is about, to give us the freedom to have our heart expand. Can our lives change to change a life? When that person in the wheelchair is on the ground, are we ready to change our lives to change that person's life? That's a good question. And I think that's what this parable really gets at, is where do you need to go? What do you need to do to change your life? Okay, what else we got? Oh, okay. That's part of the... Why don't you read that? I started to write down a list of Good Samaritan ethics. So go ahead from the top and just read those. Well, it's not that long. There's like four things or six. Okay. If you want me to read them, I can... Well, you were a school principal. You've probably seen worse handwriting than mine. But do you want me to read it, or do you think you got it? So these are the things Jesus said, just in case you can't figure out. Well, I don't know if he made it any easier, but these are things. Lose your life to save it. That's part of changing your life to change others. Okay. Take up the cross and follow me. Maybe that makes sense for you. Maybe that's challenging for you. That's probably how Jesus meant it anyway, to be clear and then scary and challenging as well. Yes. Right, forgive every time. That's what Jesus said. Forgive every time. There's another place I wrote down about Amy Jo Levine. I think that's her name, if I get it right. She did a little analysis about this parable. She's Jewish. And she was speaking to a group of 9/11 survivors. And she's a New Testament scholar who's Jewish. And she said, think of the two questions. What are the two questions? Who's got that one? Someone? It's kind of a longer... Well, should have my notes for that. basically she was saying the questions are, who is the person that you really could not help? Because you'd rather die than help them. Who is that person? And that's, you know, for you to think about and for you to get an answer for. And she said it's a member of Al-Qaeda, you know, which obviously was related to 9/11, and that would be a natural person to hate. You know, and then she flipped the question around to who do you think is a person that would rather kill you than help you? And of course, the answer was Al-Qaeda again for them. So that's another way to think about this. I mean, this is a deep, deep, deep parable. Now, deep truths. I found out this week as I was moving, and one night I ran and then mowed the lawn as we were getting ready to go, and then I woke up and my right ankle hurt really, really bad, like very bad, like someone had just stabbed it. And it kept hurting and hurting and hurting, and then many kind people, you know, sometimes you have to receive kindness, but many kind people say, you should really go to the doctor. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 you know, because I couldn't relate it to anything I did. And so I go to the doctor, and the nurse, first of all, says, oh, you got the... And then the doctor came in and said, well, I could put a needle in your ankle. And I'll tell those stories later, but he didn't, which was good, because I have gout, it turns out. I have gout. Now, if you have gout, you know what I'm talking about. Now, just even saying that word, my ankle tingles a little bit. But, you know, gout is a kind of arthritis. It's uric acid, and it goes in places in joints usually, and it kind of crystallizes, and then it's very painful. And then you can take some medicine, and it puts it away, but maybe I have this the rest of my life, and it could be episodic. But it's one of those times where there was one night where it just was very, very painful, you know. And I've had pain in my life, and this is just more pain, but it was a lot of pain. And it's those times where you think, what do I need to do to change my life? Because I'm 48, who knows? Maybe I won't be 49, maybe I'll be 99, you know, but I don't know. None of us know. It's one of those deep, deep moments of thinking. That's what this parable is. That's when Jesus told this parable to this man. I think that's what it was for him as well. It hit him, I mean, deeply. What? Who is my neighbor? Well, my neighbor is more than my wife and more than my children and more than my relatives and more than my friends. And it keeps expanding out the door and across the street. And I'm going to end with the parable of Eric. So we're moving. We're finishing up moving. Darren came and helped me get the last little bits. So I'm mowing the lawn on the front lawn. I look down the street, and there's a car parked. In fact, I just said to Darren, why is that car parked like that way out in the street? We have a street that's 25, but everyone goes 40. It's busy. That car's going to get hit, you know. Well, there's a couple, a young boy, or, you know, 18 to 22, and a young woman with them about the same age. And it looks like the tire's flat. Now they're parked in the house next door. Bethany, I got to move. So, you know, you've got me, who's the Lutheran pastor. Across the street, you have my best Catholic friend, neighbor, who's a director for social services. He's got the honey-do list for the day. I mean, you know, that's important. Now, I'm not mocking that. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about if you are a male. But anyway, he had lots of things to do that day. And so he was doing his things. The Catholic guy. I was doing my things, the Lutheran pastor guy. And our neighbor who moved in a year ago, he is also, happens to be a pastor. But he pastors in Hoquiam. Now that's like, you know, Aberdeen, Hoquiam, that's like Samaritan. You know, I mean, it really is. It's for our culture. But and not only that, he's not Lutheran or Catholic or Episcopal. His background is Pentecostal, Holiness, and Baptist. I don't know how they put that all together over in Hoquiam, but it's Hoquiam. But way different than we are as a Catholic or as a Lutheran. So I'm looking down there, and that guy's just struggling to change his tire, and it's like, well, I should go down there, but, you know, I got stuff to do. We're moving. I got to go, and we got to get the truck back, and we got to get this recycling, and blah, 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 blah. And I got to take my medication for my gout. I'm using gout as an excuse, just so you know. Gout. I got gout. Sorry, can't do that. Gout. So out comes, I almost said the Samaritan. Out comes, we'll call him Juan. Out comes Juan because he's a Latino pastor in Hoquiam. And he starts helping him, and pretty soon he's under the car. I mean, he's just working it. Now, he set down all of his tools because he's got honeydew and plenty to do in this house because he moved from Seattle and thought, it doesn't rain in Aberdeen. But little did he know how that works. So he does lots of yard work all the time trying to stop weeds. But he's under the car. He's doing everything. I bet he asked him to come in for lunch. I bet he would have given him stuff. I mean, whatever they needed. Because he was living that parable out. Now, am I guilty for making the choices I made? Well, I feel somewhat, I've changed a tire before, you know, but I'm not that mechanical. But my neighbor across the street is mechanical. Could I have asked him, could we have gone together instead of kind of stepping over like those two did in the parable? Could we have gone together and helped these folks maybe faster than my other neighbor, Juan? I don't know, but that's all of what's in this parable. You have the two who went by for all kinds of justified reasons. You can't necessarily fault them. but the one who helped because they decided an opportunity has rolled in front of me. I need to change my life to change lives. That's what it means to be a good Samaritan. When Jesus says, go and do likewise, that's what he means, to gain eternal life. Change your life to change lives. That's all it is. Amen.